This is Dave Glowatz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and who's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, David.
Today we're talking about an article that appeared in the Reader on February 23rd, 2012, which you co-wrote with Mick Dumke.
The great Mick Dumke.
Titled, "The Reader Goes to Charter School." And in this article, you report on a visit that you and Mick Dumke made to a United Neighborhood Organization charter school, UNO, operating a number of charter schools for Chicago Public Schools. How did your tour get arranged? You say in the article that, you know, someone contacted you. Was that simple?
Somebody from UNO called Mick and said, well, why don't you come visit our school? And UNO is very aggressive in public relations. They constantly inviting reporters to visit their school. They'd never invited me because I've been so critical of UNO, but they invited Mick. And so Mick said, well, look, if I'm coming, you should bring my good friend, Ben Jarofsky. And they gulped and said, all right, you can bring him along as long as he behaves himself.
In your article, you quote the CEO of UNO, Juan Rangel, that UNO's teachers get paid less than Chicago Public Schools unionized teachers because, he says, charter schools don't get enough taxpayer funding. What do you think about that?
Oh, come on, Juan. We had many disagreements, all civil, I might add, during the course of that tour of the building, my favorite being our discussion of white liberals. But in terms of public funding, I've written before, and I think we have talked about, charters are pretty much free to do what they want with their money. There are far fewer restrictions, I should put it, than regular public schools. If they want to spend a lot of money on a chief administrator, Juan Rangel is a chief administrator, and I believe he makes, don't quote me on this, approximately $250,000 a year. I probably am being conservative in that as that number. Then they can. Well, regular public schools, the principal, the chief administrator or principal, makes about $120,000 tops. So that's a lot of extra money. So that's extra money that could go to the teachers.
It's their choice.
Thank you. Choice being the key. We can choose to spend it
They're
on
all
teachers.
All about choice, though. They're charters.
They're charters. So if we choose to spend our money on administrators, we will do so. So anyway, that was just one exchange that I had with Juan. Again, it was all very civil. Everybody was really nice to each person. And then we went out and had lunch afterwards.
How was that?
Delicious.
Anything juicy besides the meal going on?
No. You know, I have a standard policy when it comes to lunch. Lunch is off the record. And we were just chit-chatting by that time anyway. So
I recently heard an interview with the Chicago Public Schools superintendent, Jean-Claude Brizard, who said emphatically, charter schools are public schools. Whereas in your article, Mr. Rangel seems to want to distinguish charters from non-charter schools, which in your article he calls public schools.
Yes,
but
that's
not
great.
Charter schools, they're
right.
Not public schools.
Yes.
Wouldn't you expect the Chicago Public Schools Administration and the head of one of their most prominent charter networks to use the same sort of messaging around this?
Yes, it's a great question. You would expect that, but in actuality, the charter schools like to think of themselves as independent from regular schools. And it varies charter school to charter school, but some are more arrogant in this way than others. There's a notion among some charter school leaders that I've talked to think they're better than the public schools, that they know how to educate kids and handle kids and handle teachers. Well, that's kind of a big issue. You know, how do you deal with teachers? Well, you don't give them tenure rights. It's a year-to-year contract. You don't guarantee them any increases in salary. You make them occasionally do push-ups. That's the sort of the attitude that some charter schools have. Now, I have to say, I wrote another piece, which was on the Reader blog site, The Bleeder, which we should all be reading now, where I apologized to charter schools and where I said, I cannot paint them with one brush. And I was particularly, I was talking about a charter school on the West Side that employed a person we wrote about years ago, Dave, Sunny Dubois. Do you remember her, the art teacher?
I do.
So the irony of that story is that a teacher who was unfairly, in my opinion, fired from the public schools for no good reason, hence the unfairness of it all, found a job at a charter school. So that same notion of independence that we were just getting at, the notion that we are not part of your system, we can do what we want, can work two ways. It can turn them into arrogant people who hoard money for themselves as opposed to sharing it with their teachers, or it could turn them into progressive-minded people who would hire somebody who is being unfairly locked out by the rigid CPS bureaucracy. So I think there's good and bad with the charter schools. And one more time, I'd like to say I've spent too much of my time concentrating on the bad because I think that's a bigger issue and not enough time saying concentrating on some of the good things.
So we can look forward to some of those articles that focus strictly on the benefits of charter?
Probably not.
We'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
If you'd like to hear more of my interviews with Ben, go to the web at MrRadio.org, where you'll find instructions how to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a single interview. Or go to iTunes and search for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.